And we're holding on page Ayin Tes in Rosh Hashanah, the middle of Os Chof Tes, about 7 or 8 lines from the bottom. I mean, Ayin Shem and Malchus. So we started learning yesterday about how we darshan about that we have the first three brachas of Shemana Esrei, Hovel Hashem Bnei Elim, Hovel Hashem Kavod Ba'oz, Hovel Hashem Kavod Shemoy, teaches us about the first three brachas of Shemana Esrei. Then we brought a pasuk that mentions about Rosh Hashanah, and from there we learn that you have to say a bracha of Kedushas Hayom, a bracha about the theme of the Yom Tov, and a bracha of Zichronus and a bracha of Shofaris, and we had different ways that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva darshan that pasuk. So now the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, Minayin Shoem and Malchus. So now we've established from that pasuk that we learn that there's Zichronus and Shofaris. We said because since it says Zichron Trua, so Zichron teaches us to say Zichronus, and Trua teaches us to say Shofaris. What about Malchus? So Tanya, Rebbe Omer, we learn in a Braisa that Rebbe says, the pasuk says, it's going through in Parshas Emor, it lists the Yom Tovim during the year, it mentions the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Then after that, it interjects and talks and gives a pasuk about to be careful to give the matnas ani, to leave the matnas aniyim for the poor, peya and leket and shikha and whatnot, and finishes off ani Hashem alekechem. And then the next words are vachodesh hashvi. The next words are that in the 7th month on the first day you have Rosh Hashanah. So putting those together, ani Hashem alekechem vachodesh hashvi zum malchus. The Rebbe says from that you see that you have vachodesh hashvi on Rosh Hashanah. You have to mention the concept ani Hashem alekechem, which is to say a bracha on the theme of malchus. The Gemara later on discusses the point that Malchus doesn't necessarily mean a pasuk of Malchus doesn't necessarily have to have the word Melech in it. It can also be something that talks about that Hashem is the only one. For example, the pasuk Shema Yisrael, you have Machlokes Tanoim later on, whether it works as a pasuk of Malchus, the halacha is it does, and in fact we do say it as the 10th pasuk of Malchus. So the same thing over here, Ani Hashem Alekechem. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and it's sorry, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't really need that. You don't need to learn from the pasuk about Matnas Aniyim to Rosh Hashanah. You have a different pasuk, Harehu Omer. The pasuk says when it talks about blowing the Chatzotzeres out and over Yom Simchas, over Rosh Hashanah, when you're blowing the Chatzotzeres, the pasuk says V'hoyu Lachem Zikaron Lifnei Alekechem. It should be a remembrance for you before Hashem, and then the pasuk finishes off Ani Hashem Alekechem. Now, she'ein tamud loy ma'ani Hashem alekechem. That pasuk does not have to continue with the word ani Hashem alekechem. It could just say that you have to blow the chatzotzeres island, and there should be a remembrance for you before Hashem. Uma tamud loy ma'ani Hashem alekechem. So why does that pasuk finish off with the words ani Hashem alekechem? Says Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, zeh bona av. This creates a binyan av l'chol makom shenema bezichronus. Whenever you have to say the bracha zichronus, you malchus yisimohen. You're always going to have malchus together with them. So therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, and earlier in the Perek, it also discusses how the same thing is also true. In the previous Perek, actually, it talks about the same thing is true on Yom Kippur of Yovel. You also say the same three brachos in the middle of Shemana Esrei over there, and there also you have all three Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofaris. Even though Malchus is more of a theme, much more on Rosh Hashanah, because that's when Hashem created Adam and Chava and became king of the world. Nevertheless, we learn from this that wherever there's Zichronus and Shofaris, you have Malchus with them also. We're actually going to learn when we get to it in the Masechta Tainis, Bez Hashem, we're going to talk about that actually among the extra brachas that they said there on certain Tanesim for rain and for things like that is only Zichronus and Shofaris. That doesn't contradict this because they were saying it more as a Tchina, to beg Hashem to have Rachmanus on us and then to remember us in the schus of the Shofaris that we're blowing. So it's not really quite the same thing over here when it's not so much that we're pleading with Hashem to do such and such, but rather that we're mentioning the theme of Rosh Hashanah and the theme of Yom Kippur is these three things, Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofaris. The Heichan Omra, so now, where do you say the bracha of Malchus? L'kedushas Hayoyim. So you say it together with the bracha of Kedushas Hayoyim, meaning you have the first three brachas, ending with HaMelech HaKadosh. Then you have the fourth bracha, which begins Atzav HaKartanu. And in the middle of that bracha is where you stick in Malchus, and then you end off with the Melech HaKol HaAretz B'Kadosh Yisro V'Yom HaZikaron. Tanya, but then we learn in a braisa, Rebbe Omer Malchus Omra. Actually, the question is, where do we say Kedushas Hayom? Given that we established that according to both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, you have to say a bracha of Kedushas Hayom in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, where exactly are you putting it in order that, where exactly are you slotting it in together with the extra three brachas that we have over here so that you wind up with nine brachas and not ten? Again, given that you have obviously Vuras of Kedushas Hashem, which is the first three, and at the end you have Avod of Hodor, Birkas Koinim, which are the last three, you would say Modim and Sim Shalom, and in between you have Malchus, Sakronis, and Shoivers. But if we're saying both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva doubting from the Pasuk, you need Kedushas Hashem, where are you putting that in? So Tanya, Rabbi Omer Imam Malchus Omer. Rabbi says, you say it together with Malchus. And the reason is, Mamotzin of Chomokim Berevius, Afkan Berevius. In all other Shabbos and Yom Tov Shemana Esrei, when we say the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, it's always the fourth bracha. Therefore, here also it has to be the fourth bracha. So therefore, so it's going to be the fourth bracha, and it's going to be combined together with Malchus. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Omer Ima Zichronis, Omer. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that you say it together with Zichronis. So he holds that you would have the first three brachas ending with Hamelach HaKadosh, then you would have the bracha Atav HaKartonu and ending with Kaddish, then he would say, Reb Shimon Gamliel then would say, then you have the bracha Malchus, then you have the fifth bracha of Shemana Esrei would be a combination of Kedushas Hayom together with Zichronis. So he would say that you'd start with Atav HaKartonu and in the middle of it you'd stick in Zichronis. And then you'd have Shoivers. The reason is, Mamotzin ima zichronis omra. Mamotzin chomokim be'emtza afkan be'emtza. Because he says you always find that the bracha of Kedushas Hayom is always the middle bracha of Shemana Esrei. Therefore, it has to be the middle bracha. Since normally you have seven brachas and the fourth is the middle, here you have nine brachas and therefore the middle one is going to be the fifth. So therefore you have to have it as the fifth bracha, says Reb Shimon Gamliel. Now, you actually have, besides for these two opinions that we have in a Braisa, besides for that, there was an opinion in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who said that actually what you do is, he said you combine together Malchus together with Kedushas Hashem, as we talked about yesterday, that he holds that you have combined Malchus in the bracha after Kodesh. We may have a vestige of it now in the fact that we have all the extra paragraphs in after Kodesh that speak of Hashem's Malchus, so that may be a vestige of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion. But anyway, he says the order is as follows. He says you have the bracha after Kodesh with Malchus in the middle of it, and he says you don't blow shofar after that one. Then you have the bracha. Then you have the bracha Kedushas Hayom, the bracha after Bachartanu, ending Mekadosh Yisrael B'Yom HaZikaron, and you blow the shofar. Then after Zichronis, then after Shofaris. And Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah disagrees with him and says that no, there's no reason that Malchus should be any different than the other ones in that regard, especially since it has the same number of psukim. Each of them has 10 psukim. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, like what Rebbe said over here in the Braisa, that you combine Malchus together with Kedushas Hayom. So now the Gemara tells, when we learned yesterday that the Sanhedrin went into Golos in various places, and twice we said the Sanhedrin was located in the city of Usha, in the north of Eretz Yisrael. Both times they moved there after having to move away from Yavin. So when they were Mekadosh the year in Usha, when Beis Din was Mekadosh that Chodesh, and they were celebrating Rosh Hashanah in Usha, Yorod Rabbi Yochanan ben Berakhah, Lichnei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Berakhah went and davened by the Amud. Yorod, he went down, because as we've learned before, the Chazan is supposed to stand lower. So he went down in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's shul, but also Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And he followed Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion in the Mishnah, which is that he combined Malchus together with Atta Kodesh and did not blow shofar after it. Omelo Rabbi Shimon, so afterwards Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel tells him, Loi hayu noyegin kein b'yavne. You should know this is not the way we used to do when the Sanhedrin was headquartered in Yavne. It comes out that there were actually, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva are talking about the different possibilities of how to do it, it's not just a matter of that they have different theoretical ideas of how to do it. There were actually different minhogim in different places. So the idea may have been that in Usha, in the north of Eretz Yisrael, Taka, that was their local minhag to do like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Berakhah followed it. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel tells him, listen, you know, it's true, as long as it was the people who are living over here, they can keep their minhag, but now that the Sanhedrin is headquartered over here, really we should start following the minhag that came from Yavne, as the Sanhedrin did it over there, and we should continue following that over here. I'll bet like you have many times in Jewish history when a whole kahila of Jews moves to a new place, There's always the question, should they continue following their old minhagim, even though they clash with the minhagim of the new place, or should they adapt to the minhagim in the new place, or the other way around, should the people of the new place adapt to their minhagim? You've had different times in Jewish history, all three, any of those three have happened. So here, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, basically, the minhag here in the Galil may be like what you did, but nevertheless, since we in Yavne, the Sanhedrin, didn't do it like that, then you shouldn't do that either. Then the Braisa continues, Lo Yom Hasheni Yorod Rav Chanina B'noish Rav Yosi Haglili, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara is going to soon explain if that actually means the second day, but anyway, Rav Chanina, the son of Rav Yosi Haglili, davened by the Amud, but also Rav Akiva, and he followed Rav Akiva in the Mishnah and put together Malchus with Kedushas HaYoyim, as we do it. Amud Rav Shimon Gamliel, so Rav Shimon Gamliel says, good, Hacho, you know you can be Yavna, that's the right way to do it, this is the way we did it in Yavna. But the Gemara asks the member of the Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Akiva, Sviralei. You're telling me then that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds like Rav Akiva that this is the right way to do. But Amar Rav Akiva Malchus and Kedushas Hayom, Amar Lahu, in the Mishnah, Rav Akiva says that Malchus is combined with Kedushas Hayom, and Rav Shimon Gamliel and Kedushas Hayom as Zichronis. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you put Kedushas Hayom together with Zichronis, because he says you have Malchus, only then you have a combined bracha of Kedushas HaYoyim and Zichronis. So then it comes out that Rav Chanina is not doing like Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion either. Omer Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira says, you're right, it's not exactly like Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, but Loi Moshe Totem Amalchus. All Rav Shimon Gamliel meant is that unlike Rav Yochanan ben Nuri in the Mishnah, where according to him, you wouldn't blow shofar after Malchus, only after Kedushas HaYoyim, Zichronis and Shofaris, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, the proper way is that you blow shofar after Malchus as well. The fact that you're putting Malchus together with Kedushas HaYoyim, fine, on that particular detail, I disagree, and I would say that we should put Kedushas HaYoyim together with Zichronis, but at least that we have, that there was shofar blowing after each of the three special brachas, that he says that's the right way to do things. Maushah points out both that Malchus refers to Hashem's Achdus. In fact, again, the 10th pasuk of it is Shema Yisrael. So you have the opinion that says that you put that together with Kedushas Hashem is the idea of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion is that you want to combine together. You're talking in that bracha about the greatness of Hashem, Ata Kodesh, Hashem HaKodesh. Therefore, it's appropriate to put Malchus in there also. Whereas if you say you put it in Kedushas HaYoyim, this is the one day of the year, the one day on which Hashem created humanity, so therefore that's more appropriate. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that's the time, that's the bracha in which it's appropriate to talk about the Malchus of Hashem. So the Gemara asks, now we said in the Braisa, Lo Yom Hasheni Yorod Rav Chanina. We said on the second day, Rav Chanina davened by the Amud and did like Rabbi Akiva. The question is, my sheni. What do we mean by the second? You mean Yom Tov Sheni? Do we mean the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Now, in most places, they would have to keep a second day of Rosh Hashanah because they wouldn't know when Beis Din was Mekadesh and Chodesh. Unlike with the other Yom Tovim, which come out in the middle of the month, and there might be time for the Shluchim to get there in time and inform them when Beis Din had declared Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, you couldn't do that. So necessarily, any place that's more than a Tchum Shabbos away from Beis Din is going to have to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But here we're talking about in Usha, where the Sanhedrin itself was located. So the only way they would have to keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah is if Elul that year was 30 days. Namely, you would have them. So in other words, they're sitting on the 30th, waiting for Adam to come. Adam don't end up coming because the moon wasn't visible last night, whether because it's too close to the Moilud or whether because it was cloudy or what have you. And therefore, the rule is Noyagin Osai Yom Kodesh Alamacha Kodesh. Therefore, they keep that day as Rosh Hashanah and also the next day as Rosh Hashanah. The question is, Lememra Dabru Ala Elul, would that mean, therefore, that they made an Elul Ma'uba, that they made a 30-day Elul? The problem with that is, V'amr Rav Chanina Bar Kahana, Mi Mois Ezra Ve'elach Lematzino Elul Ma'uba. From the time of Ezra and onward, until Rav Chanina Bar Kahana's own time, and he's one of the Amoraim, we never find an Elul that was 30 days. We find in Sefer Ezra, we find in the Nehemiah portion of Ezra, we find described over there when they celebrated Rosh Hashanah and they lay in from the Torah, and then it says V'yom Achodesh Hasheni on the second day they gathered together again for a public Torah reading and told everybody about the mitzvahs of Sukkot that are coming up. So there we have an example in history of an Elul Ma'uber, but Rav Chanina Bar Kahana is saying we never find after that. Beis Din always made an effort to make it that Elul would always be 29 days. And that way, at least, in particular, that was relevant as far as Yom Kippur. That way, people in the outlying areas are not going to have to keep 2 days because of Seika D'Yoma of Yom Kippur. So what are you telling me? Now, if you're telling me that in this Braisa, in Rav Shimon Gamliel's times, who was before Rav Hanina bar Kahana, they had a 30-day Elul, and that's how they had 2 days in Rosh Hashanah, then that contradicts what he's saying. And the answer is, Amar Rav Chista, my Sheni, Luyem Sheni Lashana Haba. The Sheni over here in the Braisa means the next Rosh Hashanah, the following year. So each time there was only 1 day Rosh Hashanah, 1 year, Rabbi Yechanan Baruch davened by the Amud. The next year, it was Rabbi Hanina, the son of Rabbi Yosef Lili, who davened by the Amud on the 1 day Rosh Hashanah that they had. Agav, by the way, I mean, so after the law HaKavua was set up, we had 2 days Rosh Hashanah everywhere, and not so much because of Sfeika de Yoma, but because of the possibility that Elul would be 30 days, and therefore they have to keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah. However, it's interesting. If you look in the piyutim that we say on Rosh Hashanah in Musaf, we have many of the piyutim we say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur comes from the famous Pait and Rabbi Lazar HaKalir. Now, if you look on the first day Rosh Hashanah, we have quite a few of them. We have in Musaf on the first day Rosh Hashanah, we have one beginning Upad Me'oz. We have a couple more, and then eventually we get to Kedusha. On the second day, we have next to nothing. We have Lekei Lorech Din, and that's pretty much about it until we get to, except for Nisana Token. Why is that? Because Rabbi Lazar HaKalir did not compose Piyutim for the second day Rosh Hashanah. Now, why not? So Tosfos actually points out someplace that shows that they identify Rabbi Lazar HaKalir with Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, or Yeshayim among Rishonim, who identify him with Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch. Either way, they were Tanoim, and in their time, in fact, as long as they're in the place where Beis Din is, there is only 1 day Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you had no need to compose Piyutim for the second day. So the bottom line why we do it for 2 days is because you have the consideration that Elul could, after all, be Ma'uber. It's true, Rav Hanina bar Kahana is telling us they made efforts not to do that, and for hundreds of years they kept it that way. Actually, in the first paragraph, the Gemara mentioned that later on, there were, after Rav Hanina bar Kahana's times, there was one time in Rava's times, there was one time in Rav Nachman's times, where it ended up that they had that Elul became 30 days and they weren't able to prevent it. Like this, Beis Din would have to prepare in advance to make sure to declare a Shodesh on the appropriate days during the months before that, in order to make sure that it will work out, and also to make sure, when possible, that Rosh Hashanah wouldn't fall out on the days of the week that you don't want it to. So later on, as times got more difficult in Eretz Yisrael, that broke down, and they weren't always able to manage that. So because of that, then because you have also the Mishnah mentions in our parak, there was a time in the time of the Beis Mikdash when they made a takana that. That if the Edom come after Mincha, we don't listen to them, we tell them to come back tomorrow. So all told, with all of that then, so even where there is a Beis Din, sometimes they would have to keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah based on those considerations, if Elul ended up being Ma'uber, or if the Edom didn't come in time, and therefore based on that, we make 2 days Rosh Hashanah everywhere. And because of that, we have La Halacha, they're considered Yom HaRichta, they're considered as if it was one long day, because you have the whole, it's not so much with the other Yom Tovim, you keep 2 days for sake of the Yom. Here it's not so much Sfeika de Yoma, it's more of a Vadai that when Elul was 30 days, you're going to have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, because you can't say that only the first day is, because it's technically the 30th of Elul, therefore you really have to have a second day, which would be the actual Yom Tov Daraisa.
If Elul wouldn't be Ma'uber and also the Eidim would come,
then you would have only 1 day Rosh Hashanah. Then you're
in Eretz Yisrael, and also
no, so then only in the place where the Beis Din is located, in any place. Well, wherever in Eretz Yisrael, whatever city.
Chutz Lartz,
you'd have to have 2 days of necessity anyhow, but not just Chutz Lartz, that's my point. Any place more than a Tchum Shabbos away from the Beis Din. Say, for example, in the times when the Sanhedrin sat in the Lushkas HaGozes. So if you're in the city of Yerushalayim, you know that they were Mekadosh L'Chodesh today. But if you live in Hebron, or if you live in Lud, or if you live in Tzfas, or Tveria, or Eilat, or whatever, you're not going to know, because there's no way for the news to get to you on Yom Tov. I mean, people can't travel on Yom Tov, so yeah. When Mashiach will come, it's a good question, really. I mean, based on this Takana, maybe, the Gemara discusses actually at the beginning of Beitza whether that Takana is meant to be for all time, or whether maybe a later Beis Din can override it if necessary. So first of all, we'd have to figure out that, whether a later Beis Din does in fact have was given the authority to override that takana. But aside from that also, I mean, you could say that maybe when Mashiach comes now with modern communications, maybe there's a way of informing everybody with right away anyhow, because, yeah.
What are you doing
on
the second day of Yom Tov?
That's a different Yom Tov. That's not necessarily Rosh Hashanah. Other Yom Tovim, for sure, there's only going to be one when Mashiach comes. I don't know. You tell me. You're the one telling me the story. But I'm saying, on Rosh Hashanah, there's less of a reason to think that that will be changed laws of love. So you were talking about Rosh Hashanah specifically, yeah. Yeah, so it was a surface, and that's a regular state of the year. The Alter Rebbe has a long discussion of the whole thing. If you look in Simon Tov Reish, in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, he has a long discussion of how it is. Why are they considered one day? Is because this whole thing about the 30th day sometimes would be the actual day Rosh Hashanah. It would be declared on the 1st of Tishrei, and sometimes if the Edom didn't come in time, then it would remain the 30th of Elul, and they would have to have 2 days, etc. But all doesn't mean means in other words they won't be as important in the face of Purim. Okay. Besides, there are different periods within Yemos Mashiach. Okay, the Mishnah says ain't person Masorah Malchus. You don't say less than 10 psukim from Malchus. Masorah Zichronus, Masorah Shoyfus, and not less than 10 psukim for Zichronus and for Shoyfus. You can have more, and in our machzorim, we have, for some of them, we do have more than 10, but the minimum is 10. Rav Yechon Manuri Omer, im oma sholosh mikolon yotza, Rav Yechon Manuri said that the dievet, if you only said 3 of each one, then you're yotza. The Gemara actually discusses the question, does that mean that he says you have to have a minimum of 3 from Torah, 3 from Nevi'im, 3 from Ksuvim, in which case the only argument is the Tanakhama is saying you need 10, you need one extra one from Chumash, and Rabbi Chananuri is saying you don't, or does he mean it's enough to have one from each? The Gemara ends up saying it means that he says it's enough to have one of each. There are even Rishonim, by the way. Rashi mentions at the very end of the Masechta, Rashi brings from his Rebbeim an explanation which he of a piece of Gemara over there. He doesn't like this explanation, but Tosfos defends it, that actually if a person says, if a person says in your Torah, but it doesn't actually say the Pesukim, that would be enough, and he would be Yotza without saying any Pesukim at all. Rashi says, wait a minute, we're saying over here you need at least 10 or at least 3 points of Yechem and Nuri. How do you get that you need 0? And Tosfos says, because maybe it means if you start saying Pesukim, then you have to say at least 3 points of Yechem and Nuri or at least 10 points of the Tanakhama, but you can get away without saying any at all. Okay. So the Gemara says, Hani Asora Malchias Keneged Me. Why do we have specifically 10 psukim of Malchus and the other ones as well? Omer Ablevi Keneged Asorah Hilulim Shama David B'Sefer Tilim. It corresponds to the 10 praises of Hashem that David says 10 times. It says Hilul Hallelujah that it says in Sefer Tilim. You might ask Hilulim Truva, but you have a lot more than 10. Wait, so the answer is Hanach Tichtibu Hallelujah B'Sefer Hashofar. Yeah, the ones that are in Kapitel Kuf Nun, where you have in the middle of there Hallelujah B'Sefer Hashofar. So all together, now you're not counting the one at the beginning. You're not counting Hallelujah, when it starts out, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Kael B'Kodesh, Hallelujah, B'Kivuzet. You don't count that Hallelujah at the beginning, and you don't count the one at the end. Palom Shama Tehalo, Hallelujah, you don't count that one either. But other than that, yes, you have 10. In fact, for that reason, since Gemara is saying, from there we learn that's one source of why we have 10, is Taka Y, in Shofaris, we say that entire capital. Like this, in Shofaris, we have to say 3 psukim from Ksuvim, but we have a lot more besides, we have several psukim from Ksuvim that mention Shofar, but then in addition, we say this entire capital in the middle of the bracha over there, that's why. Hallelujah, Kael B'Kodesh, Hallelujah, B'Kiyozeh, Hallelujah, B'Gvoreisev, Hallelujah, Kered Gudloy, Hallelujah, B'Seik HaShefer, Hallelujah, B'Nei B'Vachiner, Hallelujah, B'Seik HaMachal, Hallelujah, B'Minim V'Ogav, Hallelujah, B'Tziltzei Shama, Hallelujah, B'Tziltzei Sura, that's 10. You're not counting the first Hallelujah, and you're not counting the first Hallelujah, and you're not counting the last, you're not counting the Kolam Shama Tahal or Kol Hallelujah. You're not counting the beginning and the end, yeah. You don't count the word Hallelujah at the beginning. Rabbi Yosef Omar Keneged Aseres Adibris Shinemu Loi Lamoshe B'Sinai. Rabbi Yosef says it corresponds to the Aseres Adibris, is why you have to have 10 psukim. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Keneged Asorim Amoris Shibahen Nivra Olam. Rabbi Yochanan says it's corresponding to the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. So the Gemara asks, My Ninu. So what do you mean? How are there 10? Ilema de Vayomer de Bereshis. Do we mean the various times when it says Vayomer, Vayomer Elikimi Hi'er, Vayomer Elikimi Hi'rakim, Hamoyim, etc.? Hani Teshavu. If you count them up, you only have 9. The answer is Bereshis Nami Maimu. The answer is Bereshis itself counts as a Maimu as well. Dichtib, Bidbar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. The passage says the heaven was created with the word of Hashem. So since the pasuk begins, Bereshis Bara Elokim, as a Shemayim Vesaret, so we understand that Bereshis itself constitutes a statement of Hashem to create the Shemayim Vesaret. Now, Taka, why doesn't it say Vayomer on it? So Marsha explains over here that you have like this. Everything was created Yesh Me'ayim. But really what it is on the first day Hashem created the Yesh in the first place. And then the rest of the days Hashem took that initial Yesh, the Rishonim call it Chom of Yuli, a potential Koyach, and made it into the various Nivroi. So like this, if it said Vayomer by the first one as well, then a person could think that there was a Yesh there always, that it's all Yesh. It comes from a Greek word that means something like unformed or potential.
Potential
matter, like. So the Rishonim use it often in their sort of philosophy and in their Pirushim on Chumash and other places. They use it to mean like in Chassidus, it uses it in some places as well. Yeah. Ultimately it means like you have a potential matter that has not yet been shaped into anything, basically. So if it said by Yomer at the beginning, Marsha explains, then you would mistakenly think that there always was a Yesh, that Hashem is just creating everything, Yesh me Yesh. You wouldn't realize there's a Yesh me Ayin. Therefore, so it's veracious to stress the idea there is an initial Yesh me Ayin, there's an initial Bria Yesh me Ayin. In fact, Mefarshim explained that the word Bara itself represents, that Amram explains among others, that the word Bara specifically refers to creating Yesh me Ayin, to create things, Yesh me Yesh, for that you have other words. Anyway, so that's why it doesn't say Vayomer at the beginning. In various places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea also that each of the Asorah Ma'amoris corresponds to one of the 10 Sfiras. So Bereshis corresponds to Sfiras HaChochmah. In fact, Targum Yonason on the Pasuk there, when it starts Bereshis Bara Elokim, it translates the word Bereshis as B'chochmasa Bara Hashem. Now Hashem created B'chochmah. And Chokhmah, everything is in potential within Chokhmah. So therefore, in the same way, Bereshis itself is the minor from which all the other ones unfold. So therefore, it's not written in the form by Yomer like all the other ones. It's written in a different form, Bereshis Bara Elokim, because all of them are nishtalshel from it. So Anaf Yosef has an interesting explanation over here. When the Gemara started off with the question, why are there 10 Malchias, and we're given these various answers that it corresponds to the 10 Hilulim, or the Aseres Hadibris, or the Asara Mamoris, why didn't the Gemara to begin with ask on Zichronis and Shofris as well? When it comes to Malchus, sure, then primarily the reason is because the Asara Ma'amaris Shebehem Nivra Olam, because Hashem became king over the world by creating it. So therefore, yeah, that would be the reason. So then Zichronis is primarily to remember Maimon Har Sinai, so therefore that connects more with the Aseres Hadibros. And the Shofris corresponds more to the 10 Halalukas. So therefore, so when it's asking the 10 Malchus, corresponds to what? So the primary answer is going to be connected to the Asara Ma'amaris. Just first, the Gemara brought the other answers as well that are relevant to Zichronis and Shofris. Next, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. In person, Ma'asara Malchus, Ma'asara Zichronis, Ma'asara Shofris. So again, you're not supposed to have less than 10 of each of them. The Im, Oma, Sheva, Mikolam Yotza. But if you said 7 of each one, then B'dievid Yoyotza, because 7 is connected to Shiva Rakiim. Then the 7 corresponds to the 7 corresponds to the 7 heavens. So the Marsha explains. In other words, the idea is because you have Hashem is so to speak Roichev Barovis. Hashem rules over. Hashem dominates over the 7 heavens and sits there on Rosh Hashanah and judges the world. So therefore, B'diavad 7 are good enough to represent that. Rabbi Yechon and Nuri Omer, Apoichas LaYuchas Misheva. Rabbi Yechon and Nuri says, you Tanakama are saying 7 is the absolute minimum. No, 7 is L'Hatzchila, what you shouldn't do. L'Hatzchila, you should say at least 7. V'im Omer Sholosh Mikolon Yotza, but if you said 3 of each, meaning 1 from Chumash, 1 from Torah, 1 from Nevi'im, 1 from Ksuvim, Yotza, then you Yotza connected Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, corresponding to those 3 parts of Tanakh, V'amilah connected Konim, Nevi'im, Yisraelim. And Omer Rav Huna Omer Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yechon and Nuri. So the Halacha is like Rabbi Yechon and Nuri. You can b'dievad be yotza with 1 pasuk of each. L'chatchila, you should say 10 pasukim, which is how we do it. Tosfos, by the way, points out an interesting point in that regard. Here, the order you would think is Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. But the ones that we say, when we say it in Rosh Hashanah, we say first from Torah, then from Ksuvim, then from Nevi'im. Why do we put Nevi'im last? Tosfos explains because parts of Ksuvim were written before Nevi'im. When you get down to it, the earlier Ksuvim spans a long period. The earliest sefer of you have Iyov was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the last books of Ksuvim were written at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash. Meanwhile, many of the Nevi'im lived after various Ksuvim, and in fact, in particular, even though from the Gemara, from the next piece of Gemara is going to be mashma that you can use Ksuvim from anywhere in Ksuvim, from Malchus, Sophronius, and Shofar, in practice, all the ones that we use in Musaf all come from Tilim. And Tilim comes before most of the Nevi'im. So therefore, that's why we put Ksuvim before Nevi'im in Musaf. So the Mishnah says, "Ein maskirat zichron malchus v'shofar shofaronus." You're not allowed to use psukim of malchus, zichronus, or shofar. It's listed out of order over here, but anyway, of poronus. And the Gemara is going to give examples of psukim in each one, which refer to bad times or disasters for the Jewish people. You're not allowed to use such psukim. You start with psukim from Torah, and you finish off with psukim with a pasuk from Navi. Rabbi Yossi Yomim, Hishlam, Atorah Yotza, and Rabbi Yossi says, B'dievet, if you finish with a pasuk from Torah, from Chumash, then you're Yotza. The Gemara actually flips that around and says that actually the Mishnah should really say the other way around. L'chatzchili, you should finish with a pasuk of Torah, B'dievet, if you finish with a pasuk from Nevi'im, then you're Yotza. And that's how we do. In each of the three brachas, the last pasuk that we quote is a pasuk from Torah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in Malchus. You have at the end of Malchus, after we've gone through the nine psukim, we finish off with Saros Chosav Leimer. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then we have the end paragraph over there. Elokeinu Elokeinu Zin Malocha Lalom Kula Bichleidecha. In Zichronus, we finish off in the middle of the paragraph over there. We have the Kaim Lonos Adavashi Tachonu with Zachadu Lahem Bris Rishonim, which is a pasuk from Chumash. And in Shofaris, you have that the Avavienu Letzia Nuchaburina. And then we'll be able to fulfill their Yom Simchas from Mayadechem, Uskatan Bachatzotzus, which refers to blowing a tkiyas, even though in context it's talking about Chatzotzus, nevertheless it counts as a posik about Shreifus. Okay. So the Gemara says, so here's some examples of each one. Malchus, what would be an example of a posik of Malchus that's a posik of Puranus, which therefore you can't use? So, Kigoin, you have a pasuk in Yechezkel. You have people have come to Yechezkel and argued that maybe we shouldn't have to keep mitzvahs anymore. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us the background, that there were people who came to Yechezkel and said, listen, you know, if a Kohen had an Eved Knani and then he sold him, then the Eved Knani can't eat truma anymore and he has no shayfus to his owner anymore. And if a husband divorces his wife, he has no shayfus to her anymore. The same way, Hashem seems to have sold us to the Goyim and divorced us, and maybe therefore we have no further relationship with Hashem and we don't have to keep mitzvahs. It's even brought to the Medrash that it was Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were among the ones who came to Yechezkel with this. And Yechezkel answers them with a long nevuah, where we have part of it. Part of it is going to be the Aftorah of Parshas Kedoshim in a few weeks, Be'ez Hashem. So he says, this pasuk that we're quoting is not part of the Aftorah, but it's all part of the same nevuah. He says, Chai oni nu'um Hashem alekim, as I live, Hashem says, I swear by my life, says Hashem alekim, imloy, that if it will not be, meaning it will certainly be yod chazok, with a strong hand, or vizroya naturya, and with an outstretched arm, or v'chema shpucha, and with fury poured out, emloy chalechem, I will rule over you. Meaning, in other words, Hashem is saying, doesn't matter whether you agree or not, I'm going to be your king, and I'm going to be Hashem, whether you like it or not. You're going to be still obligated to keep mitzvahs. So even though it says emloich, you can't use such a pasuk because the pasuk of Puranus. Now, in a way, it's not such a so the Gemara says, but afa gabza amar Rav Nachman. Now, Rav Nachman comments on this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin after it brings that context when Yechezkel said this. Rav Nachman says, "Kol yahai ris chaluta hakadosh baruch hu alon v'lifrukinon." Fine, let Hashem exhibit that anger against us, abi he takes us out of Golos, because that's what Pesukim go on to say, that Hashem is saying, "I will rule over you, and I'll take you out of Golos, and I'll bring you to Midbar Amim, and I'll refine you over there, and you'll come to Eretz Yisrael." So Rav Nachman is saying, "Yes, there is a positive thing in it." Nevertheless, kivin de beris ha'omer, but the pasuk is being said in a sense of anger. Ad kuri ris ha'beres shanta by mat karinen. We don't want to mention anything involving Hashem's anger on Rosh Hashanah. Next, Dikorin, what would be an example of a posik of Zichronis that we can't use? Keep going. You have a posik until them. By Yizkil, Kibosahem of a Gomer, after talking about how the Jewish people were doing all kinds of things wrong in the Midbar, Hashem remembered that they're only flesh, Ruach Holach Vola Yashuv. So again, it's a negative thing that Hashem is saying that the Jewish people are deserving of punishment and they're going to die in the Midbar over there. So again, you don't want to use such a posik on Rosh Hashanah. Shofar would be to go and tickle shofar by Giva, Gomer. The Nabi tells the Jewish people, blow a shofar in Giva, and they used to use a shofar then as an alarm, so sound the alarm there with a shofar in the city of Giva, because the enemies are preparing to attack. So therefore, so that's a shofar, but it has to do with Peronus, with the difficult times for the Jewish people. Aval, but the Braisa continues, or the Gemara continues rather, Im ba loymar, malchus zichron v'shofar shal puronus shal akum oymar. You want to say malchus zichronus and shofar psukim that refer to punishment of goyim, that you can do. To goyim, Hashem moloch yugazu amim. For example, you could use the pasuk Hashem has reigned, the nations will tremble. You could use that. Lamai said we don't, but you could use that as a valid pasuk of malchus. Okay, when Hashem melech olam vod ogu goyim me'artzoi, or you could use the pasuk Hashem is king forever. The nations have disappeared from his land, meaning the seven nations that were conquered and removed from Eretz Yisrael. Zikorin to then zchor Hashem l'vnei Edom v'gomer. You can use the pasuk where we ask Hashem to remember about Bnei Edom, what they did at the time of the Churban. You're allowed to use that pasuk. Shofar to goyim, and this one we do use. Vashem lekim b'shofar yiska. The pasuk says Hashem will blow the shofar v'holach b'saris teman and go with stormy south winds to fight against the goyim uchtiv. And the pasuk continues. Hashem tzvakas yogin aleihem. Hashem will protect the Jewish people. The context of that pasuk, very interesting. This is the Nabi Zechariah talking at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash. He's referring to events 200 years later, the story of the Nes Chanukah. He's saying a previous pasuk, he mentions that, he says that the children of Tzion, the Jewish people, will be aroused to fight against the children of Yavon and defeat them, and Hashem will help them. And Hashem will fight on their behalf. So therefore, so you're allowed to say such a pasuk, and we do. That pasuk we taka mentioned. Why, Taka, do we continue with Hashem Tzvakas Yogin Aleihem, which is actually the beginning of the next pasuk? The reason is because the other examples of Gemara brought, you have right there in the same pasuk, you have the Peronus of the Goyim, and you have how it helps the Jewish people. But here, you don't have Hashem, when it says, Vashofa Yiska, Vaholach Basaris Teman, you can see that it means he's fighting against the Goyim. It's not so clear that it means that the Jewish people are going to be saved as a result of that. When you have the next pasuk, Hashem Tzvakas Yogin Aleihem, then that makes it clear that it's on behalf of, that it's going to save the Jewish people and punish the Goyim. So therefore, we add those extra words. And then we finish off, that it shouldn't just be a one-time thing. Kein Togan Alam Chisyo Vishlamecha, the same in the Sach. Next, the Gemara continues, Amos Kivin Zikorin Shor Yochid Vafilo Latoiva. You're not allowed to say in Zichroinus a pasuk that mentions that where Hashem remembered a Yochid even when it's for good. Kigoin, for example, a pasuk in Tilim, Zachreini Hashem Beitzon HaMecha. David asks, remember me Hashem with the favor of your people. So he's asking for a personal remembrance. On Rosh Hashanah, we're davening on behalf of all of us Jewish people collectively. Or for example, you have Nehemiah says on himself a couple of times in his sefer, Hashem, remember me for good, all of the good things that I accomplished for the Jewish people. So you can't use such psukim. Continues the Braisa, Pikdonus Harein to Zichronis. Psukim that mention that Hashem pokad is the equivalent of Zichronis, and therefore you could use such psukim. To go in Hashem pokad as Sarah, for example, you could say the pasuk that Hashem remembered Sarah and she became pregnant. The Gemara is going to ask soon, wait a minute, didn't we say not a yochid? We'll get back to that point in a minute. Or, for example, you could use the pasuk that Moshe comes, that Hashem tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people that I've remembered you and I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim. Give it, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says that they are not. Not so much, Marashar explains, it's not so much that Rabbi Yehuda demands that you have the actual word zikorin in the pasuk. It's really more that there's a difference, there's a nuance of difference between them. Marashar explains, refers to something that happens at a certain time. You have Hashem is designated a certain time for something to happen, and he makes it happen at that time, like Sarah becoming pregnant or the Jewish people coming out of Mitzrayim. Whereas Zohar implies there's no particular time for it. It's always in Hashem's mind, so to speak. It's always on Hashem's mind. That's what we want to focus on Rosh Hashanah. On Zichronis, says Rabbi Yossi, not on Pikdonis. Shiyala Zichronis, Seinu L'Toyva, that Hashem should remember us for good, not just as a one-time thing, but as an ongoing thing. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you can't use Pokud. So the Gemara asks a little Rabbi Yossi, okay, well, according to Rabbi Yossi, who says you could use such a Pesukim, why is he mentioning Rashem Pokud Asoda? Okay, fine. He's saying that Pikdonis are the equivalent of Zechronis. But isn't the pasuk about Sara about an individual? And we just said before, you can't use such a psukim. The answer is given to also Rabbimina, because the Rabbim, the whole Jewish people, descended from her. Especially that part, not just that they descended from her, but that particular Pekidah was, Yitzchok was born, from whom the entire Jewish people descend. Kerabim Damia, therefore that's considered like the Rabbim, and therefore that's a valid pasuk to use. For the same reason, in Zechronius, we use the pasuk about Noach, by Yizkor Elokim as Noach, same idea, because we all descend from Noach, so therefore that's valid. Even, yeah.
It's the time for the ladies to
be afraid, that's also true, but Rosh Hashanah, Nifka, nevertheless, we're saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. We can't use such psukim because then there's a Koran in them. Yeah, but it said Vashem Zohar as Sarah, then it would be fine to say. But since it says Vashem Pokad, and as Marisha pointed out, you do have that nuance of difference, then you can't use it. But yes, there is the idea that Rosh Hashanah, Nifka, the Sarah, Rosh Hashanah. There is actually, but since you're mentioning it, though, it is true, there is actually an interesting explanation from Rabbi Yitzchak, that his father, that connects together, actually, the Teva, by Yizkor Elokim as Noach, with Sarah Rochel Bachana. For one thing, he points out that the dimensions of the Teva were 300 by 50 by 30 amos. If you look at the names of the three women who were Nifkan on that day, each of those women, their name shares two letters with the other one and has one letter that's unique to her. Sarah has, she shares a resh with Rachel and a hey with Hannah. But the shin stands by itself. The same way with Hannah, you have the nun is unique to her name. With Rachel, you have the lamed is unique to her name. Therefore, you have those same three letters, shin, lamed, and nun, which are the dimensions of the Teva. So there is actually a deeper connection between the remembrance of Noach and everybody in the Teva with the three women who were Nifgad on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. So that's the Kriyas of those days. We'll talk about all three of them. Yes, Sarah on the first day. Rachel was in after the second day. Rachel Mavak al Baneha. And Hannah in the after the first day. Yeah. Okay. So we'll continue. We'll continue with that next time. That's the
same.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we'll pick up at the beginning of next week. That's the same. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola Dalad Nissen. Actually, today is Nisei's Gimel Nissen, rather. Lately, this is the Rebbe was saying, the Sicha told us Tavshin Nun Beis at the end of 1991. So lately, the Rebbe said, they're all over the world, in Russia and China and in India, there were all kinds of tremendous revolutions for the good. Revolutions, and those affect most of the world, because we're talking about between all of those governments run most things in the world. And these revolutions are taking place. You had, for example, the breakup of the Soviet Union was happening at that time. China was starting to liberalize at that time. India was so all these things are happening b'shekhet of a menucha. They're happening very peacefully and quietly, without wars and without shvichas damim, and you never find anything like that in history. So these kinds of revolutions and changes are from among the Simoni Gola. You have the Medrash says if you see that nations are provoking and struggling against one another, you can expect that Mashiach is going to be coming soon. Now, Malchus Misgardus means that there are revolutions like that. But now we can have that. Misgardus doesn't have to be involving wars. It can be in a peaceful and tranquil way. So therefore, we see how the world is becoming more misbatter and is becoming more ready for Yemos Mashiach. Continuing with Halachos of Shabbos, you're not allowed to color or paint or dye anything on Shabbos, even if it's not a permanent color. So one example of that, for example, is putting on makeup. You're not allowed to on Shabbos. Another example would be, for example, if a person's hands have colored juices from fruit on them, let's say a person was eating cherries or blueberries or what have you, then he's not allowed to then touch his fingers to his clothes, because then he's going to be dyeing his clothes with the juice. Another example would be, for example, to take a cloth handkerchief and use it to wipe a bloody nose or a bleeding wound or something like that, tissues or something else, because you're not doing sevea with them, you're going to throw them out anyway. And similarly, for that matter, it also applies to food. You're not allowed to put, for example, tarquin, which is saffron, into food to give it a color. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe disagrees with that point. The Alter Rebbe says, "Ein tzviya ba'ochlin." The concept of dyeing does not apply to foods. Therefore, according to the Alter Rebbe, you would be allowed to put something in there to give it a color. It's also negeya, for example, when it comes to making tea on Shabbos. I think there are poskim who are, besides the whole, you have all the issues with bishul, which is why you use a kli shlishi, etc. I think there are some poskim who don't like the idea because you're adding color to the water. But again, based on this, it would, according to the Alter Rebbe, it would seem that at least that you don't have a problem with, because ain't tzviya ba'ochlin. Ain't tzviya ba'ochlin, the concept of tzviya does not apply to foods. The original tzeveya in the Mishkan was they were dyeing skins and things like that in order to use for the Mishkan. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe holds it doesn't apply to foods.